What we're going to cover is how this one tool could help you close more deals, get more dates, make more money, but really how to master the skill of finding and keeping a partner when it comes to business and real estate. So let's dive right in.
Welcome to the Action Academy Podcast.
Stand back while I celebrate freedom.
The show where we help you achieve financial independence with the mindsets, methods, and actionable steps from guests who've already earned their freedom.
The flags of freedom fly.
Choose to do what you want.
What you want.
With who you want.
With who you want.
When you want.
When you want.
With another episode today. Now, here's your host, Brian Lubin.
What is up, everyone? This is going to be a freaking awesome call. So, Sarah, how's this for a call?
Yeah, it's good.
This is going to be a blast. So for people that came to Cabo, a lot of you got to meet Sarah. But Sarah, I'll allow you to introduce yourself for people that weren't able to meet you.
All right. Hi, guys. I'm really excited, you guys. A lot of you might know that I'm a real estate investor. I wrote a book for Bigger Pockets, focus on the midterm rental strategy. But one thing you guys probably don't know is before Sarah Weaver was Sarah D. Weaver on Instagram, I was a journalist and a recruiter. And so I used the DISC behavioral assessment in my recruiting for 4.5 years. I use it as a tool every single day, both in business and in my personal life. And I'm really excited. This is something that you guys are really going to be able to walk away and use. This is not a personality assessment. This is not woo. This is not your horoscope. Okay, guys, this is an actual freaking tool that one of the largest organizations in the United States is very behind, Keller Williams. I know, Brian, you've had really good experience with KW. You want to tell us a little bit about that course, the class you went to, even though you're not an agent, and like, why would you go to that?
Yeah, it's called Career Visioning. It used to be called Recruit Select. The class talks about how you walk through a hiring process, and how you walk through a hiring process the same way that you guys go about like selecting your partnerships. Cold DM people on LinkedIn to be partners. No, do not do that. Worst idea, worst advice I've ever heard in my entire life. For the love of God, please do not do that. Disclaimer, I am not a financial expert. However, whenever you're forming partnerships and whenever you're forming employment relationships, what you do through the Keller world is a four-step system. The first thing is you do the introductory call, which is the same thing that you guys would be doing when you're looking for a partner. 15-minute intro call, like just get to know each other, do a little bit of chit-chat, and then you do a deeper call. What you're doing is called like a life story. So like during your life story, what you're looking for is you're not saying anything. You're not pitching the job. You're not pitching the position. That's done in the first intro call. The life story is literally you shutting up with a notepad right here and you're sitting and you're asking them, walk me through high school, college, walk me through your life. What you're doing is you're trying to pull out demonstrations of excellence, right?
And patterns.
And patterns. And you're trying to see how people are and how they operate when it comes times of stress. And then you say, okay, so what'd you do next? Why did you do that? And all you're doing is listening. And then that goes into the final one where you're like, okay, cool. Now let's see if this is actually a partnership. And then that's when you can finally extend formal offers. So that is the process.
Excellent.
Yeah. Hiring is the most time intensive, most painful, most excruciating, and most worth it thing that you're ever going to do as a business owner and partnerships. And I'm here to tell you, as a CEO, the most important thing you do is finding talent. And it's going to be the bulk of your time. So that's why what Sarah's about to say is so important.
Yeah, I promise you, you're going to love today's call. It is so applicable to so many different parts of our business. So I'm really excited to dive in. And first, before I do, who here has taken the DISC? If you've taken it, what I want you guys to do is if you remember your DISC results, you likely got one or two letters. Can you go ahead and put those two letters in there? Awesome.
Looking at them all right now.
So it's communicate better using the DISC behavioral assessment with Sarah Weaver. What we're going to cover is how this one tool could help you close more deals, get more dates, make more money, but really how to master the skill of finding and keeping a partner when it comes to business and real estate. So let's dive right in. So like I said, I'm Sarah Weaver. I'm a real estate coach. And once upon a time, I was a real estate recruiter. So I placed high admins with very successful real estate agents. So have you guys seen Selling Sunset, any Bravo show with a real estate agent? all of those assistants are people that I placed. That's what I did for 5 years before I became a real estate investor. I am certified in the DISC behavioral assessment, and we're going to have a lot of fun today. All right. So some of our goals, basically just be better. I want you guys to be better, period. But Brian helped me put together these four goals for today. So I want you to be able to identify styles of people without them even having to take the DISC. Yes, I really can do this. I can spend about 7 minutes with someone and I will know what their DISC profile is and what motivates them. And you guys will know how to do that by the end of today. I want you to communicate more efficiently. It's not about you. It's about the person you're talking to. And then I want you to know the role and how it plays in a partnership. And then lastly, we're going to talk about how you identify your strengths and areas of improvement. I don't believe in weaknesses, but there's always areas of improvement in a business partnership using the DISC. How does that sound? All right. So what is the DISC behavioral assessment? Some of you guys have even taken it and you probably still are like, I don't really know what it is. It is something where you're going to get a graph like this. This is probably the most popular because that's what Tony Robbins used. But I really like this one down here. It's called People Keys. I have administered more than 4,000 DISC assessments, and I think it's the most accurate. You get spit out these three little graphs. They tell you different things. Does this person like their life? Does this person like their job? All from these graphs. So super cool. There's lots of different combinations. Most people are going to be two dominant letters. By the end of today, you're going to have a really good idea of what most of the population is. And I'll give you a hint. Action Academy is not a like mirrored example of what society is. No shock there, guys. And you're going to be able to tell how someone interacts with you will determine what their DISC profile is as well. So, all right, how I'm going to do this is I'm going to introduce you to some of my friends. These are not real people. All right, so I wanted to meet Danielle. She's a D. And here are some of these things that I think it's really easy to remember. So if someone is a D, they are direct and decided. I love working with a D because they're decisive, specific, direct, so on and so forth. But more importantly, if you are a D, which one of these items do you resonate? Are you like, yep, I am a self-starter, take action, decisive, all of the above? Okay, I love this. So this is a behavioral assessment, you guys. This is not saying all Ds are the same, because we're not. Some of us are nicer. Some of us bite our tongue more. Some of us are lazier, frankly. None of us here, obviously, but there are such things as lazy Ds. And so I think it's really important that this is just someone's natural behavior. Cool. We're just going to go through each person so that you guys can get a really good idea. I highly recommend you guys are taking notes because you're going to want to use this later when you're working with a potential partner and you're like, huh, it seems to me like this person might be a D. They like to take action. And I keep making them upset because I'm not replying to them fast enough or I'm explaining things in too much detail. Huh, I wonder why. Be taking a lot of notes. And by the end of this, your notes will make a lot of sense. I promise you. All right. So meet Isabel. She's an I. And her main thing is to be an influencer, not an Instagram influencer. This is the mom who was always having the parties at her house, or you were always going to her asking her like, hey, like, what's the best restaurant in town? And she'll be like, oh, my God, let me tell you. This is the person who loves to have influence on other people. So we're not just talking about Instagram influencers. Surprisingly, most Instagram influencers are actually a high C, but that's a whole nother story. All right. So here's things about Isabel. She is an instinctive communicator, just really good at communicating. They're enthusiastic and expressive. So we're probably going to hear a lot from them. And there's nothing wrong with that. We need these people in our life. So business owners, write this down. When you know that you have a high I client, those are the people you want to do your testimonials because they're going to be level 10 stoked to see their face on your Instagram or your Facebook or even your freaking Google reviews. So these are the people you need to be asking for testimonials. That's what these people live for. They love telling their friends about you. Next is they are great at bringing people together. So if that's the role that you need on your team, maybe it's a capital raiser. They're probably going to be a high I. They're going to use humor to connect and they're going to be a peacemaker. So they're great with conflict. They're frankly, they're just great with people. Not so much with the details. Again, there's nothing wrong with that. This presentation is not about criticizing. It's just pointing out what feels really good to this person versus what doesn't. So for a lot of high eyes, it just might feel really laborious to be really detailed. Spreadsheets, probably not your favorite thing. All right, high S. A high S wants to be safe and secure. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're safe and secure, but that is what they want. They value safety and security. These are the people who really are like, frankly, I like my W-2 job. Nothing wrong with that. So if you're a high S, maybe you know an S in your life. They're diplomatic. They're dependable. Frankly, these are team players. I want a team full of S's. Full. Because guess what? They love people. And they will always get stuff done. What I love about an S is that they're going to figure out the easiest way to do something, especially if you have an hourly employee. You want them to be a high S because it might not be perfect like a C, but it will get done and it'll get done really quickly. They really like efficiency and they're really good at reconciling conflicts, just like a high I. But unlike an I, they don't really love change because guess what? Change isn't safe. It isn't secure. And then they're not very good at establishing priorities. So if you're giving an S something to do, or if you're partnering with an S, have a really clear agenda. Otherwise, they can get a little too chatty. All right. Last but definitely not least is Claire. Claire is a high C. She is careful and conscientious, which is a very hard word to say. Say that 3 times fast. All right. She's analytical and she's pretty serious. So if you're a high C, I see you. You're orderly, you're organized, and you may frankly just give in an argument. High C's, you need to know this about yourself. But more importantly, us others, if we are working with a C, we need to be really careful not just to barrel over them. It's not kind and it's not the right thing to do. And it's a really quick way to self-sabotage a partnership. And you need to be patient with a C because they may over-explain. Anyone have someone in their life that may over-explain? All right, I want you guys to take a deep think. How many Ds, what percentage of the United States do you think is a D? It is 3, only 3%. What? Yes. So, like I said, Action Academy, you guys are not a mirrored example of the United States. Only 3%. So why do we think that there are more Ds?
Because we surround ourselves with like-minded people. So in our world, everybody in my world is a millionaire. And everybody is a D.
But just for you non-Ds, don't worry. You can be a millionaire too.
Oh,
yeah. Vanessa says because they're loud.
True.
A D would never be offended by that. So I'm gonna let that comment sit. All right. Again, percentage of the United States that is an I. Guess again.
Oh, 50.
Oh, we're really close. Really close. 11%.
Really?
Yes. Let's take a minute and really look at this. Say that we're trying to buy a business. Let's say that we're trying to buy a laundromat off of old man Jake, okay? And you're coming at him, you're being really direct, you're being really loud, and let's just assume that he might be an SC. This is why this tool is so important, because you cannot assume that people are like you. Okay. Yes, us eyes, I think we will all proudly say, you hear from us a lot because that's what's important to us. We like to be heard, but that doesn't mean that we're the only people in the room. That's something you guys really need to remember, is that not everyone is an I and very few of us are a D. All right. So any guesses on an S?
Now we got to be up in like in the 70%, right? Because that's what's left.
Okay. Good, good. All right. 9% are a high S. I want to tell you right now that an I and an S are both people focused. Okay. They love people. Doesn't even mean that they love people, but when they're doing a project, they're thinking about the team, they're thinking about what people think of them. But a D and a C are more task focused. Remember, Ds want to get things done, Cs want to get things done correctly. And so when you're hiring, guess what? We're in luck. I told you earlier, I want most of my team to be a high S. Well, I'm probably going to get that because 69% of the US are a high S. And guess what? They love safety and security. Why do you think so few of us invest in real estate and invest in businesses? Because it's not safe. It's not secure. And 69% of the population is really motivated by safety and security. All right. So you guys should get this right. What percentage of the population is a C? It's 17%. Excellent. Most likely who you're talking to, especially if it's a, let's say you're a wholesaler and you're talking to sellers, they're most likely an S. So guess what? They crave security. They love teamwork. They're loyal. All right. So did you guys know that people will do more to avoid pain than they will to gain pleasure? This absolutely blows my mind. And so people don't want to be uncomfortable. They don't want their greatest fears realized, even if overcoming their greatest fear will give them so much pleasure or get them closer to their dream, they will avoid it. So let's talk about everyone's greatest desire. Danielle's greatest desire is to get it done. Pretty simple. We want to accomplish and we want to get to the end goal. All of us D's, do you guys agree? Is this important to you? Accomplishment, task, getting to the finish line? So a high D handles new challenge and problems really well. This is the slide that I think you guys are going to be most interested in, is their greatest desires, because this is what you can be looking for when you want to partner with someone. So you want to put them in charge. They need to feel in charge, at least. They need more freedom. They're not going to be very happy about constant meetings. You crave changing environments because you want to work and play. So if I'm working with a D, this is really important. I'm trying to give them all of this because, guys, when us Ds have this, we will get so much done and we'll feel really good about it. So, of course, we also need to think about their greatest fear. So anyone guess what Danielle's greatest fear is?
Mediocrity.
That's a good guess.
Failure.
That's a good answer, too. No, I think this one, I don't think this is going to surprise you. Being taken advantage of. If you feel like your hourly employee didn't get enough done, you're like, what the hell? Why am I paying you? So be really careful to not make this person feel taken advantage of. This is really true for me. I'll tell a quick story. I'm a high D and I hired a CMO and she didn't get me results. I felt incredibly taken advantage of, so much so that I just completely shut down. Couldn't answer her calls, couldn't text her back. I was so angry that I couldn't even function. And it took some real self-work for me to realize, oh, yeah, that's why I'm so angry, is because she didn't get it done. She didn't get the results I felt taken advantage of.
I think a good quote here, Sarah, is that your greatest weakness is your greatest strength overused.
That's really good.
So that's something that applies for all of us. Confidence can become cockiness. Assertiveness can be steamrolling. And so this is like a really good example. As a D, you could be like, hey, I want to get everything done and like to perfection. Let's go. Let's drive it forward. But you could steamroll people.
Exactly. And so I'll tell some examples too, once we've gone through all of these, of how I've used this to actually change my behavior. I'm not changing my personality. I think it's really safe to say we're not going to change how Brian is. We're not going to change how Caitlin is. However, what we can do, not for a long period of time, I can work on being more patient with my high C assistant, or I can work on letting go of the reins and letting someone else feel in charge for a little bit, maybe not forever, but we can change our behavior. I don't believe that we can change our personality. So now let's talk about Isabel and her greatest desire. So this is us high eyes. She wants recognition, approval, awards, accolades. She wants her face on billboards. She wants words of affirmation. She wants to be told, good job. And you look great doing it. So flattery and praise go a long way. If you are a high D, especially a CD, so you're all task, you're not people focused. And that's okay. It doesn't mean that you don't like people. I'm not saying that you're a bad person. It's just that when you get up for the morning, you're thinking task. Correct me if I'm wrong. And what I encourage you to do when you're working with basically everyone in this group, as you can see, there's a lot of high eyes. Just force yourself, even though you don't enjoy it, I'm not telling you to change your personality, but just force yourself to just say, hey, how was your weekend? How's it going? Even though I am also a high I, I'm a 99D, like 97 I. It's hard for me even. Like when I get into a team meeting, I'm like, let's go. We have 50 minutes, baby. Let's get everything done. And sometimes I forget to be like, hey, how are you? Like, how was your kid's birthday party?
So can you talk about why that's important really quickly? And then about the 99 and the 97.
I want you to go back and look at your graphs. You have a dominant trait and you have to know when to pull down one of your dominant traits or pull one of them up.
And Sarah, I've got my graph here, if I can show it super quick and then we can move on. So what's really important and what I just learned recently is that I'm a 99D and a 99I. So that means that Daniel just posted about something about how he presents and how it's like your adapted style versus your normal style. Mm-hmm. If you're over a 90, it's a necessity. You will implode if you do not have access to that trait. And so some of y'all, you're hiring people or partnering with people, like you need to see anything above a 90 is a non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to show that really quickly because I just learned that.
All right. Can you guys see my screen again?
Yep.
Hi, eyes. These are the people that you want around, but don't give them too many details. They're really good to throw a party, but just make sure they have an assistant. So anyone guess what their greatest fear is? Hint, it would be the opposite of awards, recognition.
Being ignored.
Worse than ignored. Disliked. Rejection. One of the quickest ways to lose a high eye is to criticize them in public. I'm fine if you criticize me on the side, but if you were to criticize me in a room of my peers, or more importantly, like a room of people I admire, I will probably never, ever forget it. Excellent. So now, Sophie. Sophie's a high S. She just wants to get along. This is why I love having S's around. They're team players. They not only want to get along with each other, they just want to get along in life. Not to say you're complacent, definitely not, but they're just like, why can't everybody get along? They're best known for their dependability. Again, that's why I love an S assistant. They also still are people focused, whereas a high C is more task focused. They are best with activities that they can start and finish. So if you have an S assistant, make sure that you are slowing down just a little bit to give them some clarity. All right. Their greatest fear. So if they crave safety, security, stability, any guesses what their greatest fear is? Loss of security. Yep. So like I said, there's not very many of us that invest in real estate and invest, period. Because guess what? It's not safe. It's risky. So what I love about knowing this is that when I'm, in this case, let's say I'm a wholesaler and I'm trying to buy a property, you want to give them a sense of security and safety. This deal is not only good for you, but we're going to make it to the closing table. Make sense? All right, Claire, high C, they want to get it right. Now, I really want you guys to hear me when I say this, especially anyone that's hiring any high Cs. Their greatest desire is accuracy, because if you're accurate, then you can't be criticized. If I am correct, then I'm clearly not wrong, and therefore I can't get criticized. And so be really careful when you're working with a high C, not to criticize.
Ooh. Right.
Yeah, be careful. And let me say this, a high C is my favorite employee. I want to have a team full of S's, sure. But a high C, like Claire, is my assistant. That person is going to be with me. They're my ride or die. Why? Because I'm a high D. I come up with really good ideas, but I can get an idea from a 1 to maybe a 5. But Claire comes in and she can take my 1 idea and she can take it from a 2 to a 9. Then she comes back to me and has me check her work, which I barely do because I know it's accurate because that's what Claire's known for. And then I get to put my stamp of approval. So I'm satisfied because it's bam, I get it done. But also high I is woohoo, I'm the one that finished this. So you need a high C in your life. You absolutely need a high C. If you're feeling like things in your life are falling through the cracks or they're not accurate, you need a high C. All right, then let me go back to my chef example. They're mean. They make the sous chef cry. And then all of a sudden they fall in love. It's every chef movie, right? So what I love about this is that this is the perfect example of a CD. So a chef has to get it done. When you're cooking, not only the act of cooking has to be perfectly timed, which is where your C comes in. The ingredients need to be perfect. And then if we're at a Michelin star restaurant, the presentation has to be perfect. And that is the C, but they also have to be a D in order to work in a high stress environment like a Michelin star restaurant or really any kitchen. So that CD, it works so well together because guess what? They're getting stuff done and get it right. So a CD, you guys are the rarest combination, by the way. So it's funny that there's a few of you in the group. But just keep in mind that you also tend to upset people because you're a little too task focused. So CDs, we love you and I want one of you on my team. But you also need to remember that not everybody thinks like you. The high I's, oh yeah, ask me about my kids. The high S is, can't everybody just get along? And you guys are like, God, can we just get it done already? So I really like UCDs. So more about the C. They're best when you give them logical information. Brian, you and I, sometimes we might go to a mastermind and we get all of these ideas. And then we send them to our assistant as a bunch of voice notes or just random thoughts. And they don't really like that. They really would like the information delivered in a more logical way. It doesn't mean that you and I should slow down. Just maybe don't hit send yet and try to put everything in one bulleted email instead of 90 text messages.
Yep. Doing this every day.
All right. So Claire's greatest fear, high C's. Do you guys have a guess?
Imperfection.
Because what would happen if you're wrong?
Being criticized.
Exactly. But what I love about a high C is that they're also really easy to work with. Just be really careful, high D's and high I's, that you are listening to them. Please listen to them. So as a review, we have all of these different personalities. Even take a look at the group. We have so many different combinations of people. And I've given you the percentage of what you're working with.
Yeah, the D's, that was insane. Like for me, I thought it was going to be at least 50-50. 3%.
That's why I love this so much, because so many times we think, why don't they just think like us? I don't understand why it's taking so long. I'm going to tell you guys a quick story. I once had an assistant. Her name was Liza. She was amazing. And I sent her an email. And the email read something along the lines of, hey, I can't find that folder. Can you send me that document? I am going to be the first to say I'm not a very patient person. If I can't find something in the Google Drive, I'm the first to give up. So I sent her that email, to which she wrote back. Are you guys ready for this? She said, per my last email that I sent on Thursday, here is the link to the folder and the document is attached.
I'd lose my fucking shit. That's how I view it. I view it as disrespectful.
Okay, guys, I'm not proud to say, but I absolutely agree with Brian, or at least that's exactly how I felt. Any guesses what I did? Exactly. I called her because tone is very dangerous. If anyone's dating, texting is very dangerous because you can't read tone. So what did I do? I picked up the phone. I said, hey, Liza. She's a CS. So I was like, hey, how you doing? How's the weather? Asked her about herself. And I said, so I got a question. Can we talk about this email that you sent? And she said, yeah, how can I help? And I said, I just want to ask what you meant by it. She's like, I didn't mean anything. I sent you the folder. I sent you the attachment. I said, I said, if I may, can I tell you how I felt and how I read it? She said, yeah, of course. Tell me. I said, first of all, the per my last email that I sent on Thursday, this is how I read it. Sarah, you're a fucking idiot because I emailed this to you on Thursday. If you could just get your shit together, then you wouldn't be wasting my precious time. Liza on the phone went, no, because guess what? That's not what she meant. She thought she was being helpful. She sent me the folder so that I could locate it in the future. And she attached it because she saved me time from even having to go in the folder. So I said, okay. So why the per my last email? Like, why? And she said, because let me go back to your email. I said, okay. And it read something like, hey, I can't find this. Where is it? She read that email as, hey, Liza, you suck at your job. You're completely unorganized. I can't find this and you're wasting my time. And I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe, Liza, that you read that email like that. Because all I meant when I sent that was like, ugh, I can't find something again. Typical me. Such great examples of how people perceive things differently. It's so important that you guys understand who you're working with. In a partner relationship, there's no faster way to sabotage than to not communicate each other's language. Or in my case, I said, Liza, you are the greatest thing that ever happened to me, and I never, ever want to work without you. And so can I already apologize 100 times for all the future emails that I'm going to send that sound like this? And she said, yeah, same with you. can you forgive me for all of the emails that I'm going to send that sound like this? I said, yep, we're good. And we walked away from that with a way better working relationship. So now when I get her emails, I also, guess what? Change my behavior. And I take 1 second to just say thank you, or, oh, you're so good. Or, oh my gosh, that saved me 5 minutes. And I'm so much better at saying thank you. And I'm so much better at saying job well done, or this message was perfect. Things like that really make a difference. And so I take the extra second, even though I don't want to. Guys, I want to get stuff done. But in order to have a really great relationship with my assistant, I take the time to reply to those emails.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm guilty. I think it's really important, because this is a skill set and it's a muscle to grow and build on. This is something that I'm just now working on. Before, I was very closed off to all of this feedback. I was like, this is how we do things, get on or get off. And now as we're pivoting, it's not me anymore. It's literally what all of us are trying to do, go from me to we.
You're not going to get to 10 million with just it being your way or the highway.
And then even with me and Caitlin, we're polar opposites. So we both have our strengths. And it's really interesting to have people that are like the polar opposite of you, that you work like really well together. And that's where magic happens.
Yeah, because the reality is that Danielle, a high D, needs Claire. Because if D's just try to get it all done, guess what? It's not accurate. But it also, it's that you need a high C. If we want to run really successful businesses, when we're talking about real estate investing, if we were communicating, let's say you're a capital raiser and you're raising and communicating with your investors, your emails cannot have typos. Numbers cannot be in the wrong order. It's so important that you have a high C in your life. So I see that we're at the top of the hour, but I really want you guys to know that I am available to sit down with you and go over your disc, your partner's disc. All right. So you guys better follow me.
In closing, Vanessa had a really good question as well. Should we refrain from being in partnerships with people who are the same? I'll give an idea that I have. Once again, I have strong beliefs loosely held, so I'm ready, willing, and able to change. But my opinion on that is, met with the CEO of Keller Williams, Mark Willis. And he said something to me that really resonated, which is, hey, if there's two of you, one of you isn't needed. And that's how they do their business. So inevitably, you will butt heads. It will come down to it, because you're going to have one responsibility that both of you are trying to tackle, and it makes zero sense. So at the very minimum, maybe your personalities can be similar, but you need to be on completely different tasks. Like, you need to have one person own one thing. Sarah, do you have anything to add or rebuttal or...
Yeah, I think that it's really important that you understand how your partner perceives you and vice versa. Excellent, guys. I really hope that you pull out your DISC results out of your email. I know that a lot of you are like, personality assessments, it's like a horoscope. This isn't real. This is different. This is a behavioral assessment. And so I really encourage you to read through it, read through your partners, read through your romantic partners, and really just think before you open your mouth. It's something that a lot of us need to do, no matter what our personality dominant trait is. And then act with kindness. I think that kindness goes a long way. And at the same time, I hope that you seize, don't let things sweep under the rug. S's, say what you think. You don't always have to keep the peace. I's, we love you. And D, guess what? There's not very many of us. Isn't that really cool?
Awesome. Thanks, Sarah, for coming on. Brian tailed off, but I know we all appreciate you because we love everything you're saying.
Thank
so
you.
Thanks so much. And feel free to reach out to her, guys. You know where to find her. We appreciate you, Sarah.
Thanks guys.
Hey, real quick. If you're still listening to today's episode, I'm assuming you got value from it. So I need your help specifically. My 2-year vision with this show is to help over 1 million people do what they want, when they want, with who they want, and I can only do that with your help. There are 2 main ways that a podcast grows. One is through ratings and reviews, and the other is word of mouth. If you could please leave me a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, as well as send this to 1 or 2 friends that you think would get value from it, we can reach the people that we're looking to reach. Thanks in advance. Talk tomorrow.